You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
How many of you love the movie Elf? How many of you out there, it's your favourite movie? One of your favourite movies? How many of you have never seen the movie Elf? Wow, we're going to be doing a showing of it tonight after church. And I don't know if you realise this, but there's a really important vote taking place this week. And can I encourage every single one of you to vote? And the vote is happening right now. We're going to do a vote on whether or not we're going to put this to bed once and for all. The question is this. This is probably one of the most important votes this year. The question is this. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to vote, and I'm going to give you the voting results at the end of the message in a few moments' time. So on the QR code on the seat in front of you, if you scan that right now, it will take you to a web page where you can decide, yes, it is a Christmas movie, or no, it is not a Christmas movie. Voting lines are open only for 3 minutes. So now is your chance to do it. And we're going to put this argument to rest once and for all. We're going to let the nation know that Audacious Church has voted, and this is how it stands. Is Die Hard? You say, which Die Hard? Die Hard number one. Is Die Hard number one, the first one? Is it a Christmas movie or is it not a Christmas movie? Vote now, vote now, vote now. 2 minutes left to vote. Also, don't forget that this week it is the elections. So on Thursday, make sure wherever you are, make sure you take a moment, go to the voting booth and vote. If you don't believe in voting, then go and live in a country for a while that has no democracy, and you'll realize how important it is that we have the vote. And your vote matters, your vote counts. Whichever way you vote, make sure you do vote. It is important that we all do that. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? That is the absolute question. Now, let me also just say pastorally, church, that Christmas, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace. And I want to encourage every single one of you through this Christmas season to make a decision over the Christmas season whether or not you need to be a peacemaker or a peacekeeper. But my prayer is that truly this Christmas we would see great peace come to our city, come to our nation. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for you. My prayer is in your family Christmas Day, you'll see great peace. Next Sunday night, Sophie and I and the kids, we fly to Australia for our first Christmas in Australia since we've been married in 24 years. And Christmas with my mum. Christmas with my mum. It's going to be a bit different because both my mum and my side of the family and Sophie's side of the family are together for our first Christmas together ever in our married life. I don't know whether I'm going as a peacemaker or a peacekeeper, but what I do know is that peace is really, really important. I want to say this about the football yesterday. United outplayed City. Well done. Congratulations to Manchester United. I have never seen our team play so badly, but I want to say this. It's a real shame that United's victory yesterday, where they outplayed us, was overshadowed by a really, really, really silly man in the crowd. And I just think we need to keep our eyes on things that are really, really important. I want to commend the United fans and United players for the way they played. And I just want to say this. Racism in any context is never acceptable. And Jesus is the peacemaker. If you didn't know, Jesus was not a white man. Nor was he a black man. He was Middle Eastern. Jesus was born homeless as well. He actually went as a refugee. So I want you to know, Jesus is the man for all nations, for all races, for all languages, for all people. So let's be committed to keeping peace, to upholding peace, and to championing peace through this Christmas season in Jesus' name. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. We're going to step into the movie. I love the movie Elf. I got to be honest, the first time I saw it, I cringed so many times. I couldn't believe it. But this, the whole story is Santa goes to a children's home, to an orphanage, where as he's one day eating cookies and drinking some milk, baby Buddy in a crib sees the toy bag open, the red bag, climbs towards the teddy, and next thing you know, he's crawling out of the sack and he is at the North Pole. Buddy is raised, he's a human, but he's raised as an elf at the North Pole. And while he is there, he learns that the code of the elves, and it is the code of the elves that really forms the basis for the whole movie. Treat every day like Christmas. That's the first lesson from the movie Elf. Treat every day like Christmas. My question is this, is what would it look like for you and I to treat every day like Christmas? Now, I don't know what feeling you get when you wake up Christmas morning. I always wake up with that excited feeling, especially when the kids were really little. You know, they would be up well earlier than me, is that good English? Much earlier than I. The children would wake up, and now that they're older, they're in their kind of late teens. Now I'm the one who wakes up the earliest. And I just lie in bed and I'm thinking to myself, where's my cup of tea? Because there's a rule Christmas morning in our house. We don't do nothing until Mum and Dad get a cup of tea in bed first thing in the morning. And I wait and I wait and I wait. Comes to 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I'm like, where's the Christmas tree? What would it look like to treat every day like it's Christmas day? One of my favorite memories of the Christmas season as a child growing up was this, is in our house, Mum and Dad were never had a great salary. In fact, in all of my dad's jobs, he was always paid below the poverty line. And so we never grew up with a lot of stuff. Mum and Dad would always make a big deal of Christmas. And at Christmas, we would get a lot of presents. Now, not that they would spend a lot of money on a lot of presents, but they would be creative in the way they wrapped the presents. For example, when I was a little boy, I would play with little army men figurines, little figures, and Mum and Dad would buy a big bag of them, and then they would break them up and pack them in groups of six or five or three or something. So I had lots of little toys to open. My Mum and Dad would wrap up for Christmas Day an orange. I would get an orange every Christmas day. And there was always one big gift at the end, which was always really amazing. It would be something like, I remember one year, we got a table tennis table for Christmas. And that was probably one of the most spectacular birthday Christmas presents I ever got. But one of my favorite memories is of Christmas Eve, because my Mum and Dad's bedroom was next to mine in the hallway. And I knew that they would put the Christmas presents under the tree Christmas Eve. And so what would happen is this, is I would listen to my door to count how many times my Mum and Dad would go up and down the hallway. And my sister and I would always compare notes. We'd keep a tally based on previous years of how many times Mum and Dad went up and down the hallway. Because in our mind, every time they walked past our bedroom door, they were walking down to the Christmas tree. Now, in all reality, they were probably getting another cup of tea or doing something like that, still watching a movie on TV or whatever it was. But this whole idea, what would it be like? What would it look like for you and I to treat every day like it's Christmas? One of the things I love about Buddy in this movie is he really lives by that code, that rule. He everywhere he goes every day, for him, it's all about sending and giving out those emotions, those positive emotions of Christmas, of joy and hope and laughter and fun. And peace. Often those things that we forget about by the end of January in the depth of winter as we're paying off our bills and we're doing everything like that. It's almost as though those emotions get lost. We remember it on Christmas Day, but the rest of the year, it almost goes into the back of our thinking. And it's almost a lifestyle choice that many of us skip from one week to the next and one month to the next. And then at Christmas, we're jolted again into the life of joy and hope and liberty and fun and freedom and peace. And then we're back into the same old. So what would it look like to live every day like it's Christmas? I think when you watch the movie Elf, we're reminded and we're shocked by Buddy's childishness. He looks childish. And I actually think in some small way, this is the gospel message to each and every one of us, that God wants us not to be childish, but he definitely wants us to be childlike. Here's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 18. He says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Matthew 19:13. "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." I think to actually live a daily life that's childlike, mature, yes, but childlike. That conscious decision that today is going to be a day that I'm going to make an effort. Today is a day as I go back into university and college and work and in my family and neighborhood. Today's a day that I'm going to make an effort to bring joy and life and hope and those sorts of things that we tend to focus on at least once a year, Christmas. What would it look like every day? G.K. Chesterton, he says this, "Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, 'Do it again,' and the grown-up person does it again until he or she is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony, but perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, 'Do it again,' to the sun. And every evening, 'Do it again,' to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but God has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we." Don't you love that? I love the whole idea from this, that on Boxing Day, we wake up and God says, "Do it again, like yesterday." And as we get into a new year, he says, "Do it again, like you did on December the 25th. And as we get into the deepest, darkest Manchester weather, God says, "Do it again. Live like you did. Live your life in such a way that brings life and joy and hope." Friend, what would it look like this election season if we just did it again, brought joy and life and hope? What would it look like? What do you do Christmas Day? You make an effort. I mean, you really make an effort. You make an effort with what you wear. You make an effort with what you speak. You make an effort with the way you treat each other. What would it be like if every day, we just treated every day like that, just like Buddy did? Do you know what you do every day, every Christmas day? Is you lay the Christmas table and you sit together as a family. Hey, there's a tip right there for a successful family. To do it every day. To make a decision every day in 2020 that we as a family are going to sit down at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, whatever it may be. We're going to turn the telly off, or we're going to buy Sky and press pause. And every day we're going to sit as a family and we're going to talk and we're going to celebrate life. I want to encourage you, church, do it again. This 2020 season, do it again, like every Christmas. Because if we treat every day like Christmas, who knows what we're going to see come to pass in our generation in Jesus' name. The second of code of the elves is this. There's room for everyone on the nice list. There's the moment that we saw there is the moment that for Buddy, he's both shocked and has a sense of purpose at the same time. How's this for the narrative of the movie? Someone finds out that someone else is on the naughty list. So leaves his home, goes on a journey into a new world in order to love relentlessly, outrageously, people from the naughty list onto the nice list. Sound familiar? I mean, does it sound familiar? I mean, if ever you wanted to have an image of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's exactly what it is. That God looked at us and he saw humanity was on the naughty list and thought, you know what? I'm going to leave my home and I'm going to love these people outrageously. Why does he do it? Because he loves us. Why does he do it? Because he loves you. There's that sense where God doesn't want any of us to be on the naughty list. The Bible says, most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God loved us so much. He loves us with this outrageous, outrageous love. Why were we on the naughty list? That's the question. Why were we? You were on it. I was on it. Well, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "For all have fallen short of God's standard." Here's what we've got to understand, what the Bible says about our God in Scripture. God is a holy God. God is a good God. God is a perfect God. He's a God of love. He's not a God of sin. He's a God of health and wholeness. He's not a God of brokenheartedness. He's a God who is perfect. And because God is so perfect, the Bible says he can't have communion, he can't have fellowship, he can't have relationship with people who are sinful, who are broken. There's a standard, the Bible says, that we have to reach in order to have relationship with God. Pretty much like the Olympic Games. Somebody in Britain, an athlete, has to reach a standard in order to get to a place where they can represent their nation. It's the same with us and God. God is so holy and he's so perfect that he could not have relationship with those of us who were broken, for those of us who had sin at the very center of our lives. And so what God did is he sent his son to become the standard for us, so that what we could do is that we could now have relationship with God because Jesus became the standard. That's what Christmas is about. That's why we read about the baby in a manger. God coming to earth to live the life we couldn't live, to have relationship with a perfect God so we can have relationship and have everlasting life. Christmas Day was a day that my dad and mum would give us gifts. Back in the late 1950s, my dad was riding a motorbike through the middle of Wales, through mid Wales, and had two motorbike accidents. The second one caused him to be in hospital in traction for 6 months. My dad ended up with a plate in his shin and pins in his hips. And there were moments where those pins in his hips would cause him pain. And my dad, you never knew him, but my dad was 6'4", 4.5". And got to be honest, when I was a little boy, dad always looked like a giant, always looked like a super strong man. And one of the Christmas memories I have is every Christmas day, with the toys that I had received, my dad would always get down from his lofty height onto the floor, stretch his legs out straight because of the pain in his hips, and he would play with us. But the memory I'll never forget is that every single time my dad stood up, the pins would lock in his hip and he would grimace with pain and he would stand to his feet and he would almost jump like that, jump because of his pain as he kind of, you know, the pin would lock and would create pain in him. And I think a little bit in that, we get an image of Christ our Savior this Christmas season. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. There was a sense where my dad, he stooped from his height to come to my level, and God did exactly the same. He stooped from his great height. He came to our level. He stooped from perfection to humanity. He stooped from freedom. He stepped to the prison of a human body. He even stooped as low as a cross and a grave. But he did it because he saw us on the naughty list and he loved us under the nice list. Friend, that is the Christmas story. That's what it's all about. And the thing I love the most is he didn't even come to point out that we were on the naughty list. He didn't come to point the finger like you've seen those angry preachers do. He didn't come to point and say, you're not good enough, you're bad, and heap condemnation on us. No, no, he didn't come to do that. He just stooped to love us from the naughty list onto the nice list. I wonder, can we give Jesus just a shout of praise for a moment across this place? Come on, his love is outrageous. His love is tremendous. His love is incredible this Christmas season. Jesus, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for your great love. I love that. The first two code of the elves, to treat every day like it's Christmas. Secondly, there's room for everyone on the nice list. And the third one is this. Glenn, how good a preacher are you? How can you link this? The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. You ever watch a musical and think to yourself, wouldn't it be hilarious if life was really genuinely like that? That people just didn't sing in the shower in the mornings, but people just burst out into song. Imagine that in the workplace tomorrow. You know, just burst out into singing. How hilarious would that be? The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I guess one of the reasons why we don't sing loud is because of the embarrassment factor. What will people say? What will people think? I can't sing in tune. It's not really our culture. It's not who I am. And yet the Bible says that we're called to stand out. And herein lies the problem. Because in society, we all want to be unique whilst blending in with everyone else. We all want to be ourselves, but we all run a danger of being a copy of someone else. And actually, this code is actually about you and I, the church, you and I as followers of Christ, actually living our life in such a way that other people take notice. There was a season in my life in high school where the last thing I wanted to do was stand out. I stood out so much that I wanted to actually blend in. But the reality, friends, is that this Christmas season, we have got an opportunity to stand out. This voting week, you have an opportunity to stand out, to not drink the Kool-Aid of BBC and CNN and ITV and everybody like that, but actually go to the voting booths, having done your own personal research with intelligence, but mutual respect of all parties. Did you know that when you refuse to join in with racism, you're choosing to shine a light, to let your life sing in such a way that people can hear? When you choose to forgive someone, now you know when you need to forgive someone, when you see that person or you're reminded of them, your heart is tied up in knots. When you don't want to see somebody else blessed and prosper, you know there's a forgiveness issue going on. But friend, I want you to know that when you choose to forgive, you're shining a light. You're standing out, you're singing a song. Your life becomes something that people look at and say, hey, hang on a minute, what is it about that person over there? Why are they living their life in such a way? Why are they so different? I want you to know that in a society that seems to be so fragmented and so broken, that you have an opportunity to shine your light. Just in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks or so, the Archbishop's office, Archbishop of Canterbury, has asked me to sit on their Reconciling Leaders Network board on how do we create reconciliation in the broken factions of society. And even now, while I'm still praying up the opportunity, one thing I'm super aware of is that God's calling us as a church to shine our light, to sing a song, to actually make a difference. And something happens, friend, when on a day-by-day basis, we treat every day like Christmas. Because you begin to stand out. Your life looks a little bit different. At times, your life looks unusual to someone else. They want to know, what is it? What is it about you? Why are you smiling? What's going on? How come you're not negative? How come you're not complaining all the time? How come your life is not an ongoing Coronation Street soap opera of negativity and difficult and problem and problem? And even when you got the problem, you're still speaking a language of faith. What is it that's different? Gosh, you know, it's so easy to stand out for Jesus today. You don't even have to tell someone you go to church, though that's the easiest way to stand out. You don't even have to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Just live like He loves you. It makes a difference. Towards the end of the movie, Santa's sled is struggling to fly because no one believes. Until Jovi stands up and sings. I mean, all it took was for one person to start singing. Changed the whole mood of the movie, didn't it? And what's really, really brilliant is that when one of them started and another joined in, things started to change. And I think, you know, when I look around Manchester and I think about the brokenness of society, I ask this question, what would it look like, you know, for Sarah when she goes back to work tomorrow at the gym there to actually shine her light, to live her life in such a way that people begin to ask her questions about her life And it just creates a natural way whereby she can just share about God. And over here with Dave, who's a proper Manc, you don't get more Manc than Dave over here. Dave, when people in the workspace and workplace, when the pressure's on, see him respond in a different way to what everybody else is. Dave, what's different over there about you? Piotr, I don't know what's going on in your life over here. Nav over here is Barry. Do you live in Barry up that way? Barry, wherever you live. Okay. And Nav is kind of, you know, doing what he does and starts to live for God. It's amazing, actually, that when you start to shine your light, it makes a difference. I mean, what can you do this Christmas season to shine your light? What can you do this Christmas season? What practical thing can you do? What practical thing can you do that makes people say, I don't know what it is? You got Secret Santa in the workplace? How's this? It's so secret that you can actually give somebody a New Testament Bible. They didn't even know. It just came from you. A secret Santa. I mean, you don't know what that Bible can do. This Christmas season, instead of helping us to fill one hamper for the people in our local community, why don't you bring in enough to fill two hampers? Friend, I want to say this, that next Christmas weekend, our Christmas shows, it's one thing to pray about people, your friends, coming into relationship with God, but if you're not prepared to invite them, why even bother praying for them? God actually put you in their world to be a spokesperson, for your life to be lived in such a way. I want to encourage you, shine your light this Christmas. Grab a seat, guys. Shine your light this Christmas. Shine your light. Shine your light in the workplace. Shine your light at home. Shine your light in the neighborhood. Shine your light as you walk through the city. Shine your light as you walk past the person selling the big issue. Shine your light with the waiter, the waitress, when you're tipping. Shine your light, because everything you do, you're either shining a light or you're not. And the Bible says here that what we should do is we should live our lives in such a way that people notice. I mean, the genius part of that movie is this, is that moment where you saw the clausometer go from just under to full. And the little boy says to his dad, Dad, you're not singing, you're going through the motions. And I wonder how many Christmases maybe we've gone through the motions. Or how many days in our life this season we've just gone through the motions. We've gone through the motions. But this Christmas, my friend, is an opportunity that God gives, that maybe, we don't believe in the clausometer, but maybe the faithometer this Christmas will rise over our city. Why? Because you shined your light, and you shined your light, and you sang loud so people could see, and people looked at your lifestyle, and people looked at your family, and people looked at your attitude, and people saw your social media posts, and people came into contact with you, and it didn't matter what you were doing or what you were up to, there was something about your life that caused faith to rise. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And friend, my prayer this Christmas season is that people would hear and see the Word of God lived out through you, in Jesus' name. Come on, would you bow your heads and close your eyes across this place right now? I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? This Christmas, do you know what it is to have a relationship with this God that we have been singing about and I've been speaking about this morning? We're not talking about Santa Claus. We're not talking about some figment of someone's imagination. We're talking about the God-man, the God who loved you outrageously, God who loved you so much that He stepped out of heaven and He came to earth to love us outrageously, from the list where we could not have relationship with God to now where we can have a personal relationship with Christ. Just last week, I was on a flight going to London, and my taxi driver picked me up. He said to me, what's your accent? I said, my accent's Australian. I said, what's your accent? He says, my accent is Pakistani. I said, it's nice to meet you. He said to me, do you like cricket? I said, I like cricket. Do you like cricket? He said, I like cricket. We talked cricket. And then I made a general assumption. I said, are you Muslim? He said, yes, I am. I said, let's talk about Jesus for a few minutes. And so we had a fantastic chat about Jesus. And of course, in Islam, they recognize Jesus to be a good man, even a prophet. But there's that fine line because they stop there. And the difference between Christianity and Islam is really simple. It's what do you do with Jesus? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That we can have relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. And we spent kind of the final 10 minutes of our journey while stuck in traffic talking about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Me sharing about why Jesus came to die. And we had a fascinating conversation about Jesus. And friend, maybe it's true that every Christmas you've been going through the motions of putting up a Christmas tree and putting presents under the tree and celebrating with kids and family and eating so much Christmas lunch that you feel like you're not going to eat for another month of Sundays. But this Christmas, I want to give you an opportunity to invite the God who stepped out of heaven 2,000 years ago to love us outrageously from the naughty list onto the nice list. I want to invite you into this moment and let you know, sitting in the congregation today or watching live online, I want to let you know that you too can have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.